I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name. Your name.
I'll be reading from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 9 through 10. These are the names of David's mighty men. Joseph, Bathsheba, a Tachimonite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai the Elite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pasdamon for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. How many people have been inspired by these words and deeds? How many people throughout the centuries, as we look back on it, have seen that our God is a God of power? That our God is calling people like us to be mighty men and women in the kingdom of God. I think of someone like Rahab, a woman who lived the life of a prostitute, and yet at a moment of time she chose God. She risked her life, and look what God did for her. I think about someone like Esther, who prayed and fasted. She put her life on the line, and look what God did for her. God delivered the Jews from Naaman's death warrant. I think of somebody like a group of men who stood for God. People like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They obeyed God's first and second commandments from the law of Moses. And look what they experienced. The angel of the Lord intervened. He was in their midst. He rescued them and saved them. Oh, God is calling people today to be mighty men and women in the kingdom of God. Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 23. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. It wasn't much. It was only a piece of ground. No telling how many times the Philistines had pillaged it before. Nobody would have defended it. What would cause Shammah to fight for it? You see, there is something different about mighty men and women of God. Just as there was something different about Shammah. He was different from everyone else. When all the people fled, something in him said, stand. When all the people ran, something in him said, fight. When they all gave up, something in him said, press on. He was different like John the Baptist was different. He was different like Peter was different. He was different like Paul was different. He stood alone. It didn't matter what you thought. It didn't matter what the majority said. It didn't matter even what peer pressure said. It didn't matter that he was outnumbered. It didn't matter that no one stood by his side. It simply didn't matter. He decided to stand alone anyway. Why? How is it that somebody can be such a mighty man of God? He knew what his responsibilities were. He knew what his calling was. He knew who he was, and he knew who his God was. Today, God is looking for a Shammah in these last days. He's looking for an Esther who stood up to a king when her people were facing annihilation. He's looking for a Saul of Tarsus to become Paul the missionary. He's looking for a Simon the fisherman to become a Peter, an evangelist to the world. Ezekiel says in chapter 22 and verse 30 something that is astonishing. I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. but I found none. God needs mighty men and women because somebody better stand in the gap. Somebody better begin to pray. Somebody better begin to fast. Somebody say, please, that we're moving forward. Somebody better say that we're not turning our backs on the will of God. Somebody better say that we're going to stand in a field of lentils and we will not be moved. Who's going to say we are going to be different? Who is going to stand? Who is going to fight? And who is going to press on? Who? Will somebody please stand up for the Lord? This, church, is a matter of the will. We have Jesus as our example. Facing the cross, facing having the sins of our humanity placed upon Him, He would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was a question of the will of the Son. Are we willing to go to our Garden of Gethsemane? Because if we're not willing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane like Jesus, we will not be mighty men and women in the kingdom of God. The fact is, today in our own generation, we simply cannot afford a failure of the will. A failure of the will is simply unacceptable. Our success is not an issue of money. Our success is not even an issue of physical resources. It is a question of the will. Given the position that we as Christians occupy in this world, we simply cannot afford a failure of the will. Somebody says, why, preacher, why? Because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Paul says, we know what it is to fear the Lord, and so we try to persuade men. Do we know what it means to fear the Lord? Is not the fear of the Lord that which makes us mighty? We, like Jesus and the apostles, are ambassadors of Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, something that is so compelling. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Paul says that love motivates. Love motivates. Real love somehow enables human beings to get outside the entrapment of their own self-worship. Somehow, real love enables human beings to put God first. Somehow, real love enables human beings to stand alone and trust God. That kind of love is centered outside of the ego. It is a love which transcends and around which all other things in life center. It's love. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 reads this way, "Love not the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." What we as a church, what the church universal must come to realize again in their own generation, is that the power of the gospel is combining its life-changing message with selfless service. It's removing your outer clothing, wrapping a towel around your waist, and washing dirty, dusty feet. It's being beaten like Paul with a whip, yet continuing to love people like you and me. The Bible says that this is doable because good deeds validate the good news. God is calling men and women today to be mighty because their love for Him is such a motivating factor that we can do nothing else but to say to ourselves that Jesus has called us to be the salt and light of the world, and that each one of us has been prepared uniquely to fulfill God's will for each one of us. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. Church, Jesus is coming back. He has not abandoned us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Jesus is coming back. And He's coming for the church. He's coming for you. And oh God, He's coming for me. He is my God. But He's coming also to reap vengeance against the wicked. And this places this down upon our level, because as I look at myself and as I look at the church, I come to the conclusion that the rubber meets the road right here. Because if you don't reach that family member, who's going to? If you don't reach out to that neighbor, who's going to? If you don't reach out to that coworker, who's going to? Who's going to? Who's going to pray for them? Who's going to invite them to church? Who's going to teach them the Bible? Who's going to win them to God? I'll tell you who. Nobody. You're it. You're the one. You have a calling upon your life, and it's not to warm a pew. You have a calling upon your life, and it's not to take up space. You have a calling upon your life, and it's not to be served, but it's to reach out to a lost and dying world. We, as a people, have a mission. Our mission is to reach into a life that's without Christ and to lead them to Calvary. You are the Shema of your family. You are Esther in your neighborhood. You are the Eliezer who says, I'm not letting go of this sword until I win someone to God. You're the Peter who used to be an old foul-mouthed fisherman, but now you are the evangelist to everyone around you. You are their hope. You are their only chance. You may be the only source of light that that person ever gets. You see, to the natural eye, Shammah stood alone. And as far as everyone around him saw, he was alone. But let me tell you, when you're with God, you're not alone. When you're with God, you are with the majority. Gideon plus God equaled victory. Moses plus God equaled deliverance. Peter plus God and the other 11 equaled Pentecost. Paul and Silas plus God equaled deliverance from prison and the jailer's whole household being baptized. I wonder what you plus God could equal. I wonder what you and a Bible plus God could equal. I wonder what your testimony plus God could do for someone's life. I wonder if you would be willing to stand in a lentil field that everybody considered to be worthless. And what would happen if you were to say, I'm not moving until something happens in this place. The Lord is seeking men and women like you and me. The Lord is seeking people who consider themselves to be nothing so that God could make them great. The Lord looks down upon us, and the Lord is encouraging us to engage in a battle that determines the eternal nature of people's lives. The Lord is looking down upon us, and the Lord is a great host. The Lord is a mighty warrior. And He says that He's dedicated to the righteous few who will stand in a place that nobody cares about. And they fight until there's no longer anyone to fight, until God grants them victory. Today, on Mission Sunday, God calls us to renew our hope. God calls you and God calls me to be people that depend upon Him, that place our faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to be mighty men and women on the face of the earth. Will you be mighty? Will you do great things for the Lord? The Lord calls you today to be mighty and to be a warrior. If you're here this morning and you are not a mighty warrior, You need to repent of that and change your life. You need to come back to the Lord, to love Him enough to be compelled to do what He calls each and every one of us to do. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you want to be in the battle so that you can make a difference. We're here to accept your confession, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, so that God will give you His Holy Spirit. Please, if we can help you, don't sit. Make a decision for Christ. Make a decision for God today. Will you come right now as we all stand and sing?